We've been in a series called The Next Thing Now. In fact, today I want to talk to you about growing, about growth, about to grow. We need to grow, church, amen? In fact, this is going to be an important aspect of the days ahead because in September, I'm going to lay out an acronym to help us evaluate our purpose as a church and as individuals as we follow Christ. The acronym is simply GROW. The G will be for growing in Christ. The R is relating to others. The O is outreach to our world. The W is worshiping God. The question I have is, are you growing in these things? Are you doing these things? Are you attempting? Are you working at it? Are you evaluating yourselves? Because I want us to be effective. Amen? I believe that we exist to grow in our relationship with God and with others. Amen? 1 Peter 2, verse 2 teaches us this. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. I have a feeling that in the day ahead, there's going to be a lot of impure milk trying to be fed to the church. And you're supposed to crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may what? Grow up in your salvation. We need to grow. Thank you. We need to. Church, there's an enemy that will try to stop us from growing up. James helps us with this and gives us a point to help us stay effective. In James 4, 7 and the first part of 8 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Church, I think there's been a lot of non-resistance to the devil. It's time to resist the devil. Amen? The name Jesus, Jesus, keeps speaking his name, and the Bible says he flees at that name. You need to speak that name. It's not because of syllables, it's because of the authority behind that name. He says he will flee from you in verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Another translation, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. You need to understand growth is an intentional posture we need to take towards God, and it's going to take effort to do it. To grow with God simply requires us to move closer to him, come near to God, draw near to God. And what does he do? He draws near. He comes close to us. Just like growing in a relationship with others, you have to get to know them. You are required to get closer to them. I'll pick on us as guys this morning. How many of us guys, when we saw, and I'm going to say our wives, because we shouldn't have been chasing any other girls, but we probably did before. Hopefully it was all before you married her, right? And the men said, amen. Amen. Yes. But do you remember those early days and you saw her and it was like, man, I want to get to know her. You remember those days? And what did we do? We wanted a relationship, so what did we do? Yeah, well, we manipulated is what we did. Here's how we did it. First of all, we figured we got to get close to them. They've got to recognize me. If they don't recognize me, they'll never know me. So what we did is sometimes maybe what you did is you sat behind them, you know, if you could find a place, or you figured out a way to sit near them. And all of a sudden, you just built relationship because you wanted to be close to them. You wanted that kind of relationship and you wanted to develop, but the only way it was going to happen was to get close to them. And that's the only way it's going to happen with God. We got to get close to God. You get close, he gets close. And so we got to work at that in our lives and be intentional about that. Let me ask a question. Have you ever been around someone who has never grown up? Don't raise your hands. Okay. It's like somebody hit the pause button on their life. It's like, what happened? Hit play again. Why is it, though, that some people grow up and others do not? Why? Have you ever been around people from the same family, same values, yet one turns out to be really responsible and the other not so responsible? Anybody know anybody like that? Don't point at them. It's just a thought process. It's interesting to me, the same thing happens in church. There are some people who change, they grow in their walk with Christ, and there's others who are the same since the day they got saved. They've never moved beyond that point. And yet, how can two people hear the same sermon, the same, read the same Bible, have the same friends and connections, and one grows and the other doesn't? This is a huge question. And the answer will determine the outcome of your life. Today, I want to discuss a person who did grow in Christ. In fact, I want to refer back to one of the disciples whose name is Peter. Peter has some growing to do. Anybody agree with that? It kind of started rough with Peter, but he developed in his faith. We're going to look at the book of 2 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 1, and we're going to read several verses there. And Peter, in this writing, is literally writing his final sermons to his sermon to a believer. In fact, I don't know if he knew at that time that it would be his last letter, but he wrote some powerful words to encourage us as believers. 2 Peter 1:1, he starts off, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Peter starts off and identifies himself in two ways. First of all, he identifies himself with humility. He says, I'm a servant. And then he says, he also identifies himself with authority. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter then goes on, though, and identifies his audience. He says, to those who have received a faith that is precious as ours. As precious as ours, I believe Peter is telling them, listen, your faith is equal in honor and value to anything I receive from the Lord. You need to understand, I didn't get a salvation any greater than yours. Oh, you're a pastor. You should have gotten it's salvation. And he's saying, Your salvation is as great and as precious and is as valuable as anything I received. And church, you need to understand that because it's going to help you understand that you do need to grow. In fact, church, faith is received from God. It is a gift, amen? If today anyone here can receive that free gift by simply believing in Jesus in your heart and confessing Him as Lord with your mouth, and the Bible tells us that if we do that, we are saved. Amen? But then we need to grow in our faith. Now, Peter, in this final letter, is about to teach us how to grow in our faith. I want you to read it with me this morning, beginning at verse 3, and we're going to go through verse 9. 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3, all of us reading together. His divine power has given us everything we need. Let me pause, and let's start it all over again, because I want you to get the first part of this. Ready? Together? 1, 2, 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may, say that word again, in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort, say that again, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Heavenly Father, I pray you will help us grow today. Grow in Christ, relate to others. Lord, desire outreach and worship as a part of our lives. Help us today to not just be hearers, but participate in acting out your word. Amen. Amen? Amen. So church, are you growing? Are you growing? How do you know you're growing? If you think you are, what are the evaluation steps that are before you? I want to break this scripture that we just read into three sections. They are simply, number one, God's provision for our lives. Secondly, our responsibility in the growth process. And third, the results of our decisions. Let me start with number one, God's provision for our lives. 2 Peter 1:3. Here it is. His divine power has given us everything we need. Everything we need. It's kind of what I was talking with the Royal Family Kids Camp counselors and helpers this morning. You've been given everything you need for a godly life this week. And that's for all of us through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. Wow, isn't it amazing? Peter just kind of jumps right into an incredible major thought here. He's like, hey, I'm a servant, I'm an apostle, and I'm glad you're saved, I'm glad you have faith, but listen, you need to know you've got it good. You've got it good. Because you've been given everything you need for a godly life. Notice this, His divine power has given us everything we need. And He's called us by His glory and His goodness. It's God who gives us everything. It's God who has called us. The word goodness here I thought was interesting in this passage. It's probably best translated for us in our language, virtue. It comes from a Greek word, arete, meaning, listen, uncommon character. We have some uncommon character in our society. But we need uncommon character worthy of praise. Excellence of character. That's what He called us by. That's Him. In fact, this denotes total excellence. It reminds us that we have the highest of callings, church. We are called by His goodness, called by His virtue, called by His excellence. We're called by a Savior who is so excellent in what He does that He's called us to that same excellence. He's done so, though, with His divine power. He's given us everything we need. Listen to what He's given us through His power in verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may, and I had you repeat this word, say it again, that you may participate in the divine nature. Wouldn't it be cool to participate in His divine nature? He's God, but all of a sudden you can participate. That's why He uses His body for ministry. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You are participating in His divine nature. You can pray for people and they can be saved. Pray for people and they can be healed. Pray for people and they can be delivered. You participate in that divine, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What is Peter talking about? We got promises, we can participate, and then I got to guard this corruption? Corruption here is the word inward decay. Peter is talking about escaping the decay caused by the evil desires that are within us. When Peter is writing this, he is one who is writing it from a perspective of a person who was decaying. One who didn't get it, but now he gets it. Peter was struggling early on, but now he is growing in his understanding that God provides everything we need to grow. And you need to remember, it's not our own power, church. It's God's power that does his work in us. God provides divine power, resurrection power. It'll help set us free. The starting point, though, is with faith. Faith in God. And then Peter says, but you need to add to this faith. Now, you need to hear me clearly. I'm not talking about works to be saved. I'm talking about works because we are saved. I'm talking about doing things because I do love him and I do serve him. And I need to add these things to my life. I need to participate in what God has done in my life. In fact, let me go to my second thought, is our responsibility in the growth process. You say, well, I thought he just saved me. He saved you, and now you're responsible to grow. Verses 5 through 7 change radically from what God provided to now our responsibility to let it happen in us. Verses 5 to 7, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Peter says, because of who God is and the provision that God has for us, we now have a responsibility. It's a responsibility to grow. We have to make every effort. Did y'all read that? Did you understand that? Make every effort. Do you know what make every effort means in the Greek? Make every effort. Sometimes the translations aren't real far off. It's just make every effort. Somewhere we need to give it our all the time. And let me put it this way. Be intentional about your growth. I hope that you're intentional about your walk with God. Peter says, add 7 things to your faith, and you will grow in Christ. They're goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. 7 character qualities for us to comprehend and apply to our lives so that we're participating in the divine nature. If we will attempt to add these things to our lives, we will just naturally begin to grow in our Christ walk. I want to quickly look at them. The first one he says, to your faith, add goodness. Like before, this is the same word. It means excellence. We do not become excellent right away, church. Over time, we practice and we get good at goodness. Excellence comes not by wanting to be excellent, but by developing the disciplines to become excellent. I ran track in high school, and when I only did it my senior year, and I didn't know what I was doing, but they wanted me to run the high hurdles. And so we owned 3 high hurdles at the school. We didn't have a track. We didn't have anything. We had dirt to run on. And so they made around the marching band field, there was this dirt track. And so I would practice with 3 hurdles. I remember going to the very first meet, and there's the line you line up to, and there's 8 of us lined up. And here I am representing our school, right? Just like we represent God. But I was representing our school, and everybody else is all of a sudden getting down, and they've got all these blocks. You know what blocks are? They're putting them into the ground, and they put their feet on them. You know what I'm talking about? And so they're getting all prepared. I don't have any of that. I just got big old Nike tennis shoes on and me. I don't know what to do. I mean, they're doing all this stuff, getting ready, and I just stand at the line, ready to go. Well, the race happened, and all of a sudden, I came in 2nd. And my coach goes, we got to get you some stuff. And so he got me the cleats that just have the cleats on the front. We got blocks. We started getting the stuff. And that year, I went all the way to state. It was a great story. But you know what? To be excellent, I had to practice it. I had to work at doing the next step and the next step and the next step because I wanted to be good at it. But to become excellent, I had to develop disciplines In fact, that year I remember developing shin splints because of it. And I had to discipline my body better in a better way so that I would guard from that. Peter, for us in our spiritual race, is saying we need to discipline ourselves so we can be the best we can be. So here's a question for you. What discipline or goodness could you start or enact today in your life that would help you grow into who God is calling you to grow into? What could you do today? Think about it for a moment. What have you been doing that's maybe been not good, and you change it? You discipline yourself because I want excellence in my walk. I don't want to just have faith. I want to be excellent in walking in my faith. I want the discipline. So think about it. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you just begin to drop in our hearts the things maybe we haven't been doing that we should do, or the things we've been doing that we shouldn't do. And help us discipline ourselves to become excellent in this race. In Jesus' name, amen. I want God to help us in this. Peter says you need to add goodness, add excellence to the faith you have, and build your life on it. And then to that, add knowledge, he says. This basically means just knowing God's way more fully. How many would like to know God's way more fully? I would. God, what do you want for my life? He wants righteousness. He wants things. Peter had to learn some stuff. Peter had a lot of hate in him. He struggled with that. And Peter had to learn that hatred killed him more than it hurt anybody else. Did you know that bitterness will destroy you? You're like, I'm going to be bitter at them because I want them to know. You think it's really hurting them? It's killing you. And that's why the Bible says get rid of it. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of malice. Get rid of hate. We've got to get rid of these things because otherwise they destroy us. We need to know God's way more fully. Peter also learned that his arrogance led to his own failure. And Peter had to learn pride has to go. That's why the beautiful part of his letter, at the very beginning, says, I'm a servant. He also learned, I'm not the big dog. I have authority because of him, but I am his servant. There's a humility that we need to walk in. Church, what do you know now that you wish you would have known years before? Is there anything? See, I think this knowing God more fully is about life lessons we've learned more than just information you gain. In fact, don't you wish you would have known what you know now, earlier? Knowledge is knowing God's way. You say, well, how am I going to know it? Read his word and you'll be ahead of the game. Knowledge will help you grow. To knowledge, you add self-control. Self-control is the ability to exercise restraint or control over one's feelings or emotions or your reactions. Now, remember who Peter was? Self-control was not one of his greatest gifts. In the garden, he has to pull out a sword and cut off Malchus's ear. That's pretty like, Lord, they're about to take you. You know, it's just, no self-control here at all. He earlier in the garden, Jesus says, hey, guys, I just want you to stay one hour, would you pray with me? And he falls asleep. No self-control. In fact, the big one, he denies that he even knows Jesus. No self-control. You see what happens in our lives and where it leads us? If we don't have self-control. Church, I think self-control is the ability to submit our nature to his nature. It's getting to know him. It's learning to master your emotions rather than being mastered by your emotions. It's growing. To that, you need to add perseverance. Perseverance is steady belief or effort in the midst of discouragement or difficulty. How many of you have ever been through discouragement and difficulty? But you keep your belief and you keep pressing on. Basically, you don't quit. Even when the desired result is a long ways off, you don't quit. You stay the course. You persevere. To that, you add godliness. You say, what is godliness? Godliness means to be continually aware of God's presence. It's that simple. You say, well, I thought it meant I had to do the God things. If you are aware of God, you will do God things. It's just making God a part of everything you do. Peter says the godly live differently. They live aware of his presence all the time. And God's presence begins to help motivate us to become more like him. And we begin to grow. And people grow when they live in God's presence. To that, he says, add mutual affection, and ends it off with love as well. This is brotherly kindness, or this kind of love. This love is loving people the way Christ loves us. In fact, 1 John 4:19 says, we love, we do this because he first loved us. People who grow in God grow in their love toward people, and they grow in how they treat people. In fact, they don't make fun of people anymore. They don't criticize people anymore. Instead, they encourage them. They strengthen them. They build them up. Why? Because they've learned the love of God. They learn to live that love out by loving God and then treating everyone you come in contact with the love of God. Let me go to my third thought. The results of our decisions. If we decide to live this way, what's the outcome? The bottom line, our decisions should be effective and productive. Listen to 2 Peter 1:8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you do them, you'll be productive. You'll be effective. Basically, Peter's saying, you do these seven things that I wrote to you about, you'll be effective in the way you live for Jesus. In other words, you'll produce a healthy, growing Christian. And isn't that what we want to be? But notice some key words in verse 8. Here they are. For if you possess, and I hope you can read that, it's a little dark. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Did you catch that? If you possess these in increasing measure. The key is increasing measure. It simply means you're growing. I increase little by little. You know, I wasn't doing that. Now I am. Church, it's about a continuous process of growing. Listen, you cannot boast and coast. There's a lot of people, it's like, well, I love Jesus and everything, you know, and you just kind of coast through life. You can't do that. You have to flow and grow. There's stuff going to come your way, and you just got to kind of move through it, but you got to grow. You've got to change and work through things. But Peter gives us a caution if we do not do these things in verse 9. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Nearsighted and blind. In fact, let me read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, for whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. I do not want to be oblivious to what God did in my life. Church, I can't become short-sighted and forget what God has done in me. I want to grow in Christ. So let me take us back to a question I asked at the beginning. Why is it that some people grow and others don't? And I'm going to tell you, because personal growth is attained by building on the foundation of God's provision. There has to be a foundational faith that is in what God has given that causes me to grow. But the simplest answer to this is the other side of it, because some people decide not to grow. There's just people, if you've made a decision, I'm happy where I am, and you're not going to continue to grow. If I look to my seniors this morning, and let me ask you to participate, seniors. Are you ready? How many of you want to continue to grow in your walk with God? Yeah. How many of you want to give up? You're done. I better not see a hand, not after this message. That's not what we want to do. We want to grow. And others have just given up. They've made some decision that I've arrived, and that's pride if you think you've arrived, or they just don't care. Church, I care. You ought to want to grow. Let me wrap up with verses 10 and 11. We didn't read these, but hear them. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, and I want you to hear the repeat here, make every effort. Did you hear the repeat in his words? Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is this telling us? It's telling us this. Grow intentionally. It's a choice. In fact, I looked up several versions. I wanted to see what this was really telling me. It says, make every effort. Do all you can do. Be even more diligent. Set your minds. This is the only way we're going to accomplish what God has called us to do. Church, we've got to make every effort to grow. And what is that going to be? Growing in Christ, relating to others, outreach in our world, worshiping God. What is the next thing now? Next, we need to grow smaller in discipleship while we grow bigger as a church. Church, I want us to grow numerically. But it will happen as we grow smaller in discipleship. In fact, right after first service, I had a couple come to me, and they're wanting to start a small group in their home. This is what's going to have to happen. We have got to connect again. You have to be discipled. You cannot just assume that everything's going to go well in your life. Oh, I know Jesus. I've accepted him into my heart. You need fellowship. You need to connect. If we're going to really grow, because here's what happens. Can I tell you, this is the bottom line. Church can grow, but if it doesn't have discipleship, it won't last. The reason that most of you are here is because you've had some discipleship in your life. But we are in a culture that when they come in, if they don't have a place to connect, they will not grow, and therefore they will not stay. I'm thankful as I look across this congregation, there's a lot of you because you have been faithful and you have grown. But I also look around, I'm looking for those that need to grow. And I'm asking, where are we connecting them? We've got to connect them. We've got to get smaller in discipleship so as we get bigger as a church. That way I know you're growing. Because just to have pew attenders, right? What's now? Now is we need to be looking to launch some new smaller groups in the days ahead. I'm going to be doing that now because we need to activate upon this. That's why we just had this group a couple weeks ago that we brought before you because they've been through training. We're equipping people because we want to grow. We want people to grow. These small groups can take on a lot of different forms, affinity groups, where that's doing things that you enjoy with others who enjoy them with you. I think that's great. How many like to play basketball? Pastor Matt does. And just a group that gets together and plays basketball. And who knows if they might pray over one another. I was part of when I did an internship in ministry, I remember the church I went to on Monday nights at 9 o'clock, they had men's prayer. Monday night at 9. I'm like, why do y'all have it at 9 o'clock at night? And they said, well, that way families could eat together and they get the kids in bed. And 100 men showed up every Monday night at 9 o'clock. You know what happened after an hour of prayer? The men got in other small groups, went and had coffee together, encouraged one another, built each other up. And I'm looking at these things saying, what do we need to do? That was a culture they developed, and I don't want to just try to imitate or repeat. I want us to do what God has called us to do. And as he causes us to rise up, we have men's prayer, and we do that. We have other groups that pray. We have prayer groups, the ladies' prayer groups. A Night with the King was just here last Friday. There's places to connect and grow in your discipleship. But we need to do this. There's other places, like you can get involved with a care community. If you're coming just for second service, why don't you come 1 hour earlier and get involved with a care community? And say, you know what, I need to connect. Maybe it's Wednesday night, or it's the men's group, or the women's group, or the youth group. You get connected. Get connected. Why? Because connect somewhere so you can grow. Last week, that's what I talked to you about, is connecting. Why? Because I want you to grow. Church, we're in challenging days. I really feel like we're in challenging days. The church does not carry the torch in the community anymore. It's time, if we have to, rob the torch. But the only way we're going to do it is that we show ourselves as disciples of Jesus. Just having a building and a community doesn't mean anything anymore. This building has been here since, actually one part of it has been here since 1976, and this sanctuary has been here since 1978. If it was going to attract a community, it would have done it by now. But it wasn't about a building. It was about the church. It was about the church growing. It was about the church inviting. See, I want us to be what God has called us to be. I've been here for 10 years. I am reevaluating everything. I'm evaluating my life. I'm evaluating church. I'm evaluating our programs. Because I'm like, why aren't we growing? Not just numerically, but I've noticed that our discipleship, well, you got Sunday morning, wow, 52. You get 52 lessons a year to live on. Like, that's enough. It's not. I thought we need to be in His Word every day. Oh, well, you get to hear it for a whole 30 or 40 minutes. Yay. Church, it's not enough. I want you to grow. I'm challenging you to grow. I'm challenging you to be intentional about your walk with Christ. I'm asking you, grow up. No longer can I watch over you and just hope for the best. I'm going to speak it to you. I've said this before and I say it again this morning. You know what my greatest desire would be? Is that if the rapture happened right at this very moment, there wouldn't be a single soul left in here. But I'll also be honest with you, I don't know that I can guarantee that. You say, well, I'm a believer. I can also tell you the Word of God says He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And I'm wondering, have we done the ironing that we need to do? Have we done the spot checking? And that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, let's grow up. Over the next weeks, starting definitely mostly in September, you're going to hear all this all over again. And there's a good reason. I've been preaching for 10 years. That means there's approximately 500 messages that you've heard from me. 500 messages. If you came on Wednesday nights, you can tip it over maybe around 800 to 900 messages. How many of those messages do you really remember? Other than the one with the ladder and the bowling ball. And everybody's like, oh, I missed that one. No, really, I've heard messages all of my life, and I'm telling you, there's a few that I remember. How many of you really remember? Not many. And this is why you're going to hear me echo this message multiple times. Because there's only by reputation or repetitiveness are we going to get it into us. I'm asking you, do not get bored with these messages over the next weeks. You need to hear it. It's got to be poured into us. I have 6 messages on the grow when we get there. I'm actually robbing part of this from one of our churches over in Grand Rapids, Grand Rapids First. Here's what happened, and he made me think. He said, we know our mission statement. And I got to thinking, I don't even know if our church knows our mission statement. He said, we kind of knew it, but we didn't know what to do with it. And they began to reevaluate what they were doing. He went home, actually, Pastor Sam said, I asked my wife, he said, what's our mission statement? She goes, I don't know. I'm afraid to ask you right now because I'm not even sure I know. If you told me, I'd be like, yeah, that's it. I know our basic mission is to do two things, is really reach the world and grow and make disciples. Go and make. That's the bottom line of it. It doesn't need to be fancy. But how do we do that? How? And so what he began to do is evaluate, and all of a sudden began to realize that people need to know where they're going. And that's where I realized I may have not done a good job at getting us down the road. We're about to get down the road. They're brand new into this. And in fact, he said, you may want to wait a year to see if this works or not. I'm like, no, it's right. It's right. So in tandem with them, we are starting this Grow series, and they have put some tools together. One of the tools is one of their children's pastors wrote and illustrated a book. You'll think, I don't see the Hawkins this morning, but their children's pastor wrote and illustrated a book called Let's Grow. The bottom line is, from their children's all the way to the adults, it's simply grow, and that's what we're going to do. And they read this book to all their little ones every week. And I'm going to read it to you when we get there. And we're going to make it available because we're all going to grow. It is foundational. I have faith. I need to add to that faith, right? Goodness. Knowledge. Right? Self-control. Perseverance. Right? I need to keep adding this to mutual affection and love. I've got to grow in these. Amen? So this morning, here's what I send you out with. Are you ready? I want you to work on goodness and godliness. Those are the two. I want you to work on excellence in your week, and I want you to work on godliness. Here's how you work on godliness. When you walk out of here, most of you are going to get into a car. I want you to pray one of two things. If you're the driver and you're getting in, it's like, Lord, I want you to be a part of this next trip in my life because I want you to guard us. And if you're the passenger, I need you to pray, Lord, help that driver to get us where we're going. See, all of a sudden, it's making God a part of everything you do. When you have meal time, I'm asking you, pray over your meals. I don't know what you do. But I tell you what I found, I pray in public places. It doesn't bother me. It may bother others, but nobody's ever said anything. In fact, just the opposite has happened. I've had several people as of late come up to me and say, you know what? Thank you. I haven't seen anybody pray in a long time. I'm telling you, we need to be bold. And in those moments, I make God a part of my dinner. I make God a part of my lunch. I make God a part of everything. I don't know what you're going to probably sit down in front of a TV today, maybe. And maybe you need to make God a part of that decision. God, I'm about to cut this on, and I want you to be a part. You talk about beginning to guard your life, and you just added to your faith godliness. You just added excellence to your life. And church, I'm telling you, let's grow up. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray, through your Spirit, through your leading, and help us participate. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a Jesus-filled week. Go practice. Just increasing measure, amen? God bless you.